Good morning. Welcome to another session of Read the Word. Here we are, Sunday morning, November 27th. Wow. We got three more days in this month and 31 days left in December. And this year will be in the history books. Wow. If you don't feel like you've got enough done yet in God, I encourage you, start the month of December out in fasting and prayer and say, God, help me get everything accomplished you want me to get accomplished this year. And may my December be a month filled with conquering in Jesus' mighty name. Now, this is Sunday morning, so remember at the end of Read the Word on Sunday mornings, we have communion, so make sure you have your communion elements available. And, you know, some grape juice and water, bread and water, I mean, grape juice and bread or crackers, or bread and water, and you'll be able to receive communion elements with us here on Read the Word. Now, this is a makeup, so we're kind of out of the sink of what would normally be a Sunday morning, but it's all right. Tomorrow morning, this is going to show up on my YouTube page on Sunday morning, so we're going to have communion today for all of you like we say we do. You ready? Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what God's Word says I am.
I am what God's Word says I am.
I go do what Jesus tells me to do.
I go do what Jesus tells me to do.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
And this Word is changing my life forever.
And this Word is changing my life forever.
I plant this Word as a seed.
I plant this Word as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 15. Remember, we got two chapters. We're going to read Acts 15 and 16. So right now, tonight, we got 81 verses we're going to read. So everybody hang on. We're going to have to stay at it. And don't you love reading the Word together? I definitely love reading the Word. Here we go. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Oh, Jesus. Here we go into religiosity. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. Wait, they weren't having great joy because of circumcision. They were having great joy because of the conversion of Gentiles, people who were not born a Jew. Keep reading. Verse 4, when they come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. Some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Jesus did away. He didn't do away with. Jesus completed the law. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Verse 6. The apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. How did he know? Because they spoke the word of God spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 10, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now Peter's being free from the religion of it. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they are. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. That's you and me. And with this, the words of the prophets agreed, just as it is written. Now, James was the pastor there. All right. Verse 16. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. So what is he saying? It's not just the Jews. The rest of mankind, that's all of us, can seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Isaiah chapter 11, I believe, verse 10 is where that is from. Now, I'm in verse 18. Known to God from eternity are all his works. His is capitalized. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, abstain from sexual immorality, abstain from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church. You know how many times in church history the whole church has been able to be pleased by something that somebody said? Probably not since this was written in verse 22. To send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter to them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren. To the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. And it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Men of God were risking their lives with Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus turned into Paul and risked his life to get this gospel out. Powerful statement. Thank God for coffee and hot chocolate. 27. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, abstain from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. And they carried that letter with them to the churches. Verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Well, I guess you would rejoice, seeing that you were delivered from the law, all 613 of them, and you didn't have to be circumcised. That would make most men rejoice. Now, Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they'd stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Antioch was a kind of a center point for many people in that day. Now, so we just beat all of that dissension. And now look what happens. 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. They beat the offense over here in the beginning of 15, and now they're giving into it. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, remember that the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans and Galatians, very, very, very specifically teaches that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus was made a curse for us. When we were reading the book of James the other night, James said if you violate one law, you violate the whole thing. So what did the law show us? It is impossible in your own strength to be right with God. What did Jesus give us? Whosoever believes on me will not perish, but have everlasting life. It ain't about nothing that you do. It's about you believe and you receive. When you believe and receive, Jesus comes in and he fills you. That's what happened with Paul or Peter when he went down there with Cornelius to Joppa. I mean, while Peter's still preaching there, they've not been born again. They've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they all started speaking in tongues and prophesying right while he's preaching. You know, he's like standing up there like, how rude is that? Like the story Dr. Barclay tells, and one time he was in Honduras or somewhere with a bunch of Mennonite preachers. He said, "I'm teaching about the Holy Spirit." And he said, all of a sudden, the man gets up and just, like he's the leader, walks right down to the front and stands in front of me with his hands crossed. Doesn't say anything. He said, "I just keep preaching back and forth." And finally, he said, "I thought, well, might as well find out what he's up here for." And said, "Can I help you, sir?" He said, "Well, is this just something you preach about, or can we actually experience what you're preaching?" So pastor said, "Well, I guess I'm done preaching. Yeah, you can receive it." And everybody got in line and they all received it. All these Mennonites, 50 of them, were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues and flow in the gifts of the Spirit in like Honduras or Guatemala, wherever it was. You know, don't be so unobservant that when they come forward to receive Jesus or the Holy Spirit, that you don't just go ahead and help them.
Amen.
Anyways, chapter 16, here we go. I have lost track of my time somewhere. Everybody pause for a minute. I like to be able to keep track of myself. Let me just move this over here where I can see. That didn't work, but it'll work closely enough. Here we go. All right, so now we got Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark out preaching. All right, chapter 16, we're going to follow Paul and Silas. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra in Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him. What? He just said not to. They're learning.
They're learning.
Paul didn't have a chapter 16 of Acts to read. He's writing it. Here we go. Took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. Tell the Jews to go fly their kite.
Yeah.
For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And that doesn't matter. They just put out an edict. It doesn't matter. As they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. It's so crazy to me. He's holding a decree that says you don't have to be circumcised, but he circumcised Timothy. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily, and Timothy became a very great disciple. Okay, I don't know. I added the last part. When they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. You ready? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. I'm not just praying you receive visions. Please be praying that I receive them.
Amen.
Amen. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us, Paul. After he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, if you go from verse 1 to verse 10, Paul and Silas walked 500 miles on their feet. And God said, no, 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 no. Go across and help them in Macedonia. Can you handle God saying no, even when he already told you yes? Because God's the one that sent him on the mission trip.
Yeah.
But God didn't need him stopping in all those places. He needed him in Macedonia with that guy to establish the church in Europe, which is what that really was. They were going to be establishing the church of Europe. 11, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. The next day, came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, I'm not sure why that's not underlined, but I really need that underlined. Where prayer was customarily made. Verse 14. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now just remember this. Even though that girl, a demon-possessed girl, was speaking the truth, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of the Lord. Even though she's saying it, I don't know if you ever heard one of them demon voices saying it, but it ain't pleasant. It ain't pleasant. That means a demon is trying to glorify God. And says many days. There ain't no reason to keep letting it go. A single day. Dr. Summerall said, wherever you see a demon, kick the door down, drive the devil out, and then put the door back up on the hinges. I mean, if the door's got hinges, just open it, all right, and go in and cast the devil out. And then you don't have to put it back on the hinges, you know what I mean? I like that. Verse 17, I'm in Acts 16, 17. This girl followed Paul and thus cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. This she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. When her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. These are some clothes-tearing, beard-plucking folks. They beat them with rods, verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. That means solitary confinement. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. That means you're stuck sitting wherever they put you. And you ain't moving. 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. How many of them?
Everyone's
chains were loosed. Keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, we're all here. How in the world would they all still be there? Except it was a move of God. When it's a move of God, even the prisoners didn't leave. They all stayed there. 29, he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How did he know that they knew how to be saved? Because this is a supernatural act of God. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. When he brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers, saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, I have a constitution, and you just violated it. That's what you and I, the American citizen, have got to begin to say to these people, I have a constitution which is a freedom to worship God how I want to. You cannot violate that. It cannot be infringed, and you can't take my weapon either. And you're violating it, and that makes you a treasonous person when you violate my rights. Now stop it. Look what Paul said. You have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now you want to put us out secretly? No. No. Let them come themselves and get us out of prison. The officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison, entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them, and they departed. Now, what you got to realize, to be beaten, when you're a Roman citizen, and to be beaten when you were uncondemned, you were innocent until proven guilty, which is what America is. Mm-hmm. And for them to try to take away our religious liberties, tell you can't worship, no, that's a violation of the First Amendment, isn't it? Freedom of religion? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guess I better read my amendments again. We got to be that bold. Wait, I have a constitution. I have a constitution. It's called the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. It says, you cannot take my religious freedoms away from me. And I'm not going to surrender. You got guys like Sean Fouten and Rodney Howard Brown and these different men that actually went to jail during the pandemic, but also got out of jail and have sued and won. And won. Why? Because they violated their religious freedoms. And it don't matter what any stupid governor says. Speak all you want, you knucklehead. You're speaking against God Almighty. You think you're speaking against us? You're speaking to God Almighty as the number one leader in any state? Whew. Watch out. You don't have to worry about me. You got to worry about you and God. And he is the secret guest in every bedroom. And he's going to wake you up in the middle of the night and give you a dream and shake you down to your shiver timbers. And if you violate it, then he's going to give you over to reprobate mind. And then guess what? Y'all messed up. Enough about that. Let's get back to Paul and Silas and the boys. Chapter 15 is get rid of all the religion. Believe, receive, and walk with God. Chapter 16 is, now watch us go do it. And here's Paul and Silas, beaten. Many times, it says, they were beaten with many stripes. With rods. Those rods bruise the bones. But you notice that it never says in the book of Acts anywhere, and Paul and Silas could barely move, but they got up and went on anyway. There's no verse that says that. Why? Because it wasn't the case. Paul's the one that said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside my mortal body, giving me life. And not only did he believe it, he lived it in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful word. Thank you for men and women of God who were so filled with your Holy Spirit that they led us out of confusion right into the perfect will of God all through the New Testament, the book of Acts, the beginning of the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia. Help us, Lord, to be the same bold, courageous, determined, on fire believers that they were.
Amen.
So that we can radically change our world.
Yes.
We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Well, let's go right into our communion elements today, our communion service, so we can keep this thing moving. on our Sunday morning Read the Word. Now, how we do this here at Read the Word, or all of our communion services, is we're going to read the verses on the communion out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then 1 John chapter 4. Then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation with you so that we know everyone's right from God. It's a prayer of salvation, a prayer of rededication, or just a prayer of hallelujah, I'm a child of God. Our friends on Zoom will join us during that prayer, and we'll be praying it out loud just like we were at church, because we are at church. And then, once you're born again, we'll give you about 2 minutes of instruction, bless the elements, and receive them together in Jesus' name. You ready? What's first? Read the Bible. First Corinthians chapter 11. I have turned to this page so many times that my Bible automatically falls open here. I love it. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Sorry about that internet glitch a little while ago, but nothing you can do except just hammer on through, which is what we do. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, he blessed it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes." Verse 28, "Let a man examine himself." That's the process. Examine yourself. "And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Why? If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. "Love has been perfected amongst us in this." How's that? "That we might have boldness in the day of judgment." How's that work, Pastor? Somebody judges you, you and I get bold. Amen? Amen. When we stand before Jesus and he's getting ready to try our works with fire, we'll already have judged ourselves. And we'll be like, "Hit it with the fire, Jesus. Let's go. Let's see what's left." We'll be bold. Why? Because we will already know we're right with God. Mm-hmm. And we're walking with him every single day of our lives. Excuse me.
God bless you.
Verse 18, 1 John 4:18. "There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it." Because there is no fear in love, and there's no fear in the communion elements. Churches have said for years, if you sin, don't come to church when we receive communion. That is exactly opposite of what God set it up for. If you sin, you need the blood of Jesus and his broken body. That's where you go if you sin. "Well, Pastor, I never." I know you never, and you didn't study this book, because it's so plain, it's right in front of your eyes. Don't run from God, run to him. If you sin, don't run away from God, run to him. Like what, he don't know it? He sees it all. If you've ever been born again, he's on the inside when you sin. You dragging him through that sin. I don't want to do that anymore, Pastor. I know. We got to get you a revelation of the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
Jesus, here's my faith statement.
Jesus, here's my faith statement.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Put your hands out like this and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your grace. And your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. You want to just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. That you never fail us. Thank you that every person that just prayed that prayer, they're washed, they're cleansed, they're purged, they're filled. Thank you. Now, some people are like, Pastor, what's going on? God Almighty just came and filled you by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus out of hell from the dead is living inside your mortal body. The exact same. There's only one Holy Spirit in the whole world. There's not a big HG for Jesus and a little one for you and me. There's one Holy Spirit, and he filled Jesus, and he fills you and me. I know some of you think that's sacrilegious, but it's not. Romans 8:11, study it. It's there. And then Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And you and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. That means everything that Jesus has is ours. That just happened on the inside of you. Jesus, the author and finisher of all faith, just came to live on the inside of you. That means faith himself is living in you. You can't beat this. I mean, God's living in you. How do you not make it? Well, don't you know? And then you tell me something that you're bound by. It doesn't change the fact the Holy Spirit's in you and you're putting that all over the Holy Spirit. I know some of you are like, man, Pastor, help me. I will. I got about 10 messages on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I want you to be able to listen to them. Start one, play it. Start the next one, play it. Start the next one, play it. It's coming at the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus from many different manners. And if you'll just send me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, I'll send you the playlist right on YouTube. All you got to do is click it and play it. Like Brother Keith Moore says, if there's no cost, there's no excuse to not knowing. We want you to know. Stick with us. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. We'll help you walk with God. Just like this program is Read the Word. Just show up here every day. Take your family through this every day. Take them through communion every day. And you know what? Next thing you know, they're going to be so solid in the Word of God that everybody's going to stand around and say, man, where did you guys get all this spirituality? And you'll be like, well, you know, from the community. And God lives in me. God is leading you from the inside out. Not from the top side, way out in heaven somewhere that you can't find him trying to get through the thick skull. No, God's on the inside, leading you from in here out. Just walk with him every day like he's your father. I was walking through Walmart tonight. I'm just talking away to God, and I'm like, you know, people probably think there's something wrong with me. I was just talking to God. I'm like, you know, about this and this, and man, did you see that, Father? Well, of course, yeah, he saw it. And his question is, did you see it, you know? And then it's like, I saw that, and I saw this. I'm walking through Walmart, man, and I'm just talking. I'm talking right out loud. People are probably looking at me like, this guy is really strange. I'm not strange. He's my father. Do you know how much I'd be talking if my dad was standing right there? We'd talk day and night. But see, my dad, God the Father, and your dad, he's in here. And he's leading you from the inside out. And just begin to communicate with him. And it won't be long. You'll hear his voice. See, now all of a sudden it's not, well, I got to memorize 17 scriptures. No. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and keep doing it. And if God stops you on one chapter, then just stop there and just read it and 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 just say, I must need to get this chapter down inside of my life. God stopped me on Matthew chapter 13 one period of time, probably for 6 months. Why? Because it's the most important parable in the whole Bible. Guess we better figure out what that one's all about. And you know what? I did. Thank you. Let's receive our communion elements together. Hold them up before the Lord. Get you some bread and water, grape juice, bread, crackers. You can see I got one of them little soup cracker things. As I'm talking, this one dissolves the fastest. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these
elements. For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Lord.
From your body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's receive the broken body together. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, those of you that are with me on Zoom, you're supposed to be doing this with me. So, we went through and made sure everybody's thing was marked off, whatever. We always like to hear you pray with us. So, here we go. You ready? By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
remission by the blood of Jesus. Every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome. And the accuser of the brethren can do nothing about it. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be. The glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his bloodshed. Hallelujah. Well, let's sing a song about the blood. I like my dad's favorite song. Today's my dad's birthday. So let's sing in honor of my dad. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. For those of you that was wondering, you know how some people will play the comb? I got my comb out and I was going to play it. Don't worry about it. It was just a good joke from old Kentucky, but it'll be all right. We're glad you were with us tonight for this Read the Word. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come and be with us on a regular basis every day. By December 31st, on December 31st, we're going to be reading the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Do you remember what the very last verse of the book of Revelation is? The very last verse. Yeah, go ahead and say it.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's the last verse of the Bible. Revelation 22:21. We're going to read that on December 31st. And we will have read through the whole Bible chronologically in 1 year. And we'll do it together.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Don't know if I'm going to do it next year. I'm just going to do whatever the Holy Spirit gives me to do. Mm-hmm. He gave me the theme for this whole next year, the other day. And now we're just working it out and studying it and putting the verses together and just saying, lead us, Father, lead us. It's going to be a great year. 2023, who'd have thunk we was ever going to get to 2023? Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Here we are. But Jesus is coming soon, so be ready. Walk with him every day. Reach out and touch every person. Pray, Job chapter 33, verses 14 through 18. Pray that over every one of your relatives. I know I'm praying it for you, but don't just say, well, there, Jesus, he's doing it, so I don't have to. No, no, no. Two of us need to be praying it over, and you'll name all your relatives by name as you pray it. And so I ask you to pray that over your relatives also, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Brother Roger, can you give me a great amen?
The great amen.
The great amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Those of you that's new to YouTube, or new to Read the Word, remember, there's a playlist with every video from Genesis 1 to where we are right now. And just search my name, Samuel J. Cottle, and then put in Read the Word in your YouTube app. Search in there, Samuel J. Cottle, and then Read the Word. And that playlist will pop right up for you. When you get there, there'll be a little box that says, has the plus sign. When you get to that little box with the plus sign, make sure you click it, because that adds that playlist to your group of playlists. Let me see if I can show you. See this right here? It's called Southwest Believers Convention. See that little plus sign right there in the middle of the screen, right underneath the O of convention? When you get to Read the Word, and you click that plus sign right there, that adds that playlist now to your list of playlists. Well, I'll show you. Let me go back. One more back. See how, let me see, I got to get this screen in front where I can see. See how that says playlist? Your YouTube app looks the same as mine. And when you click that plus button, it'll add it right there. And you'll be able to have access to it anytime you want to. And I encourage you, start in Genesis and go all the way through it. It's a great study. Great discipleship in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this?
We love you.
Go ahead, Roger. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. Thank you, Sunday. And Jesus is
Lord.
And Jesus.
Have a good night.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Have a sweet dreams.
God's blessing all.